And Ted, I think we're going to do that when I get to that point, okay? All right. Well, happy Father's Day to all you dads out there this morning. You know? And it's just not about Father's Day. It's about men today we're talking about. Men. Okay? Let me tell you something that I learned and it changed my life. Because I looked at Jesus, who Jesus was. He was a real man. And real men love the Lord.
That's right.
And they're not ashamed to say that they love the Lord. Mm-mm. Real men love the Lord. Love them bumpers, that bumper sticker, my brother. I followed a security guard one day in the plant before I got out of the mill. And he was driving, and I looked on the back, and this guy was, right? He's taking his pickup truck, he's going in the mill. I was heading out. I saw that sticker, and I went, followed him down over, and got into the, and he went down there, parked. I didn't know what he was doing. That was his vehicle, but he was going down and checked something. Where everybody, I pulled up behind him. And he got out. And I looked at him. I says, "What's that sticker mean to you?" "He's just what it says." He's a big guy. I said, "Praise God, brother." He's, "Oh, man." And we got down and we had just one Holy Ghost time right there. And that was great. You won't believe what little things like that can do and join us together.
Amen.
When we're not ashamed of it. That's the thing. Hallelujah. I know that's a whole other story. Okay, Father's Day came about in 1966 when President Lyndon B. Johnson issued the first presidential proclamation honoring fathers, designating the third Sunday in June as Father's Day. But you know, it took six more years before the day was made a permanent national holiday when President Richard Nixon signed it into law in 1972. Okay. Mother's Day, 1914. They didn't mess around. They made it a national holiday then. Okay. And they made it in May, okay? And then they made it the second Sunday in May. Wait a minute. Every one of those things, they went up on the guys. You know what I'm saying, guys? Okay. Mother's Day has been given the recognition for being the number one day for cards, for florists, for restaurants. You know, people go to eat out because they ain't going to cook. And department stores. And I thought, really, department stores? Did you do your research? Had a lot more money spent them. If mama ain't happy in the house, ain't nobody happy. Okay? Father's Day does receive an honorable mention. Like, it's way down here. Okay. Well, I'll just scribble on a piece of paper. Happy Father's Day. Love you, babe. Yeah, no, no. Come on. But, you know, the mothers, you got to, they do. They get the red carpet treatment, especially on that day. They get dinner. They get beautiful bouquets. And they get lovely gifts. And it better be a lovely one. As they know if you've been to the Dollar General. You know, for the fathers, though, see, it doesn't take much. See, we love our toys. You know, a new gadget of some kind. Or a new tool for the collection, John. You know what I'm talking about, John? One you probably already got 10 of, but you know, I need another one. You don't know. Well, you know, I'm like you. I got them. You know, I got 1-inch drive, socket sets, 3/4, you know, and 1/2-inch, and I got the 3/8 in the 1/4-inch. Why I got the 1-inch, I have no idea. I don't use them. I used them a few times, but I have them.
Yeah.
Praise God. You know, we like our tools and things. But also, you know, we are easy to please. Okay? So you can get us a gift card to Lowe's or Royal King.
Royal King.
You know, real men shop at Royal King. I'm telling you. But, you know, also, all it takes is a ball cap. Huh? Did y'all get your ball cap?
Not yet?
Well, when you leave, you get a ball cap. Three different choices. Hallelujah. Don't forget to get your ball cap. But also, you know, it doesn't take much to, you know, a T-shirt, okay? And that's why, and don't tell your mother that I brought these because she didn't get to iron them, Lee. Please, please, please. You know, I mean, like this one. See, it says, I have two titles, Dad and Pap, and I rock it both of them.
There you go.
Huh? Yeah. Come on. Yeah. But this is the one Rich and I identify with, because I call Rich when I says, I like this one. Dad can't fix stupid, but he can fix what stupid does. I said, Rich went, yeah. I mean, I got a whole bunch of thumbs up from him on that one. Yeah, just don't tell Teresa I didn't let her iron them. Hallelujah. So it doesn't take much to make us happy, you know, especially when it's family, when we just can get together with our kids, with our grandkids, and our great-grandkids. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
A good father. He's a good disciplinarian. He allows his kids to make mistakes, Michael. Okay? He's open-minded. He teaches his children to appreciate things. He accepts that his kids aren't exactly like him. He spends quality time with his children. He leads by example. He's supportive and loyal. He challenges his kids. He teaches his children lessons. He protects his family at all costs. Most importantly, he shows unconditional love. Even though he gets upset at his children, a father loves his children. Proverbs 22, verse 6, New King James Version, says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Fathers, we are to train our children. Now, that same verse in the Passion Translation says, dedicate your children to God. Point them in the way they should go. And the values they've learned from you will be with them for life. The values they've learned from you. That's talking to us, dads. Will be with them for life. What are the values you're teaching your children? Let's think about that for a moment. See, their eyes are on us. See, we are the examples. See, how they go, a picture is worth a thousand words. If your example is not in line with the direction and guidance you're giving, do you think they're going to learn anything from it? Oh, they will, but it won't be the right thing. Remember, their eyes are on us. Lead by example.
Amen.
Dads are the head of the household. And this is our responsibility. The moms have a big part in that with the children when they're at home with them in the early years. Parenting, though, takes both. Mom and dad. grounded in the Word of God will make a big difference. I can't say it enough. The Word, the Word, the Word. Because the Word works. My dad was head of the household at our place. When he would be working a 4 to 12 turn, me and my brothers, and we weren't listening, we'd get out of hand. Well, Mom waited because on 4 to 12, at about 7:30, right in that time, Dad called. And all she would say, "Hey, boys, Dad wants to talk to you." Oh, yeah. We'd go in there, and he'd pick up the phone and once ask what we were doing. And one thing we'd learned a long time ago, you don't lie to Dad. And you tell him, he says, "Listen," he says, "remember, I'm coming home tonight. And I will wake you up." And all of a sudden, Mom had angels on her hands after that. Now, you notice I didn't mention my sister. Yeah, little sis. Because she couldn't do anything wrong. Mm-mm. No, nothing. I'll leave it at that. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Says this, "My children, listen when your father corrects you. Pay attention and learn good judgment." Now, Proverbs 15:5 in the Holman Christian Standard Bible says, "A fool despises his father's discipline, but a person who accepts correction is sensible." And I'm here to tell you, my daddy didn't raise no fool standing up here. My dad was tough on me, but I loved him because I knew he loved me. In Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, says, "Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and your mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on earth." Think about that one for a minute, some of you young ones. Now, there's a proverb that says, "Let your father and your mother be glad. And let her who bore you rejoice." Take the correction and learn from it. Because many of them have said this. They've said, "I brought you into this world, and I can take you out of it." Have you not heard some of the women say that? Oh, yeah, they have. And when they say it with that look, you don't have to say anything else. Right? Through my dad's correction, I knew he loved me. Just like our Heavenly Father, who brings correction to our lives. In Proverbs 3:12, it says, "For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights." Now that says love. And what's love got to do with it? That's good. Our Heavenly Abba Father really loves us. Many people have a difficult time comprehending God as a Father who loves and cares for them. They have the idea that God is like a judge who sits up in heaven and looks for a chance to punish them the moment they make a mistake. But no, God is a loving Abba Father. God is love. Why is God called Father? In much of the modern Christianity, God is addressed as the Father, in part because of his active interest in human affairs on the earth, in the way that a father would take an interest in his children who are dependent on him. Our children are dependent on us. We got to be there for them. We got to be those that are going to encourage them, those who are going to show how to love, okay? It wasn't until years later, after I got saved, and just before my dad passed away, that he said he loved me. Yeah. But I loved him, and I used to tell him that all the time. Especially after I got saved. You say it when you're a little kid, and then you seem to lose it. Don't be ashamed to tell your father, here, I love you. I know you don't, Dean. I know you did it for both of them. And Debbie does the same thing. I mean, she gets to daddy, I'm just telling. So, okay. But we'll get to there. Okay? Now, Father... Okay, did I finish yet? No. Okay. As a father, he responds to humanity, his children, acting in their best interest. Sometimes you can't get the things you want because he knows you don't need them, because he knows what will happen if he gives them to you. He's trying to save you some heartache. What is a root word for father? Father comes from the Pro-Indo-European father. P, upside down E-T-E-R. Okay, an old English father, F-A-E-D-E-R, meaning he who begets a child. Reflecting the baby talk sound, ha, ha, as well as a phonetic, there it is, as a phonetic shift from the P to an F in Middle English. Okay, so you get fodder. So, however, dad did not evolve from father. Okay? It's from dada. You catch that? Dada. I like this song. Abba Father really loves us. We've got a friend, closer than a brother. There is no judgment. Oh, how he loves us. We've got a friend. He is our strength. He is our portion. He is with us in the valley. He is with us in the fire. He is with us in the storm. We are never alone. Abba, Father, really loves us. Yes. Abba, Father, really loves us. His mercies endure and are enough. And his grace is sufficient. What a father. What a friend. What a savior he is. First John, chapter 4. Verses 9 and 10. Back to the New King James. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifest towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the atonement for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. You can't have unforgiveness in your heart, my sister, as you said, and expect love. And you say, well, I can't. If you are born again, God's love is in you. It's been put into our hearts. We have the capability to love. And when you love, you'll forgive. That was good, my sister. Abba Father really loves us. There are many different names in our Bible used to describe God. While all the names of God are important in many ways, the name Abba Father is one of the most significant names of God in understanding how he relates to us. The word Abba is an Aramaic word that means father. It was a common term that expressed affection and confidence and trust. Abba signifies the close, intimate relationship of a father and his child, as well as the childlike trust that a young child puts in his daddy. Dean, did you hear that? Number three. Abba is always followed by the word Father in Scripture. And the phrase is found in these passages. He heard me say it, Dean. He's out there. He's listening. He's listening. Amen. Train up a child. I'm telling you. Train up a child. And he and she. It doesn't make a difference. You understand what I'm saying? God doesn't let go, brother. God does not let go. Hallelujah for that. Abba is, like I said, always followed in us. So in Mark, go to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. And this is where Jesus addresses his father as Abba Father in his prayer in Gethsemane. So, verse 35 and 36. He went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. The term Abba in the Aramaic is the word for father. The Greek term is added not to tell us what the Aramaic means, but to express Jesus' dependence on his father as he faced the sufferings of the cross. No doubt Jesus loved to utter his father's name in both forms, first in his cherished mother language, and then in the common language of his day. In this view, the use of both words was a charming simplicity and of warmth. The intimate relationship of a father and his child. Romans chapter 8. Abba Father is mentioned in relationship to the Spirit's work of adoption that makes us God's children and heirs with Christ. But you notice it's only Jesus who addressed him as Abba Father and the Apostle Paul. You see, the Apostle Paul got it. He got it. I pray this morning that you get it.
Amen.
There is a close. My legs are tingling. Now, there is such a closeness there when you understand him as Abba Father. How much he loves you. How much he cares for you. Okay. Verse 14 we'll start with. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus. Through the spirit of adoption, we can cry out to the Father as Daddy. By the Spirit himself, and we're talking about Holy Spirit here, living in our spirit says we are God's children. We are God's children. The Greek word here that he's talking about for adoption is euthusia. Okay? Huiotesia. It is derived from the word huios. Huios. Meaning son. Okay? Follow me so far? From the word thesis, thesis. Meaning placement. It is a legal term that in this context indicates that we, believers, have been given the full privilege of sonship in God's family. Concurrent with the placement into sonship, God places the spirit of his son into our hearts so that we become, in effect, his natural born children. Are you getting that?
Amen.
What is the spirit that was in Jesus? Holy Spirit. His spirit is placed in you. You are a child of God. We are his children. As such, we are not just adopted in the sense the word conveys, but genuinely begotten of God. God makes children of men into children of God. Just the reverse of what happened to Christ when the Son of God became the Son of Man. Like that, Wendy? I did too. Galatians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Hey, David Jaka, this one's called the easy read version. You know, I like that. Since you are now God's children, he has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. The Spirit cries out, Abba, Father. There it is, the third one. Now, you are not slaves like before. You are God's children, and you will receive everything he promised his children.
Thank you, Lord.
Remember, we are joint heirs with Christ. He's our brother. Man, and he's sticking close. Again, in the context of adoption, the Spirit in our hearts cries out, Abba, Father. Together, the term Abba, Father doubly emphasizes the fatherhood of God. In two different languages, we are assured of God's care for us, how much He loves us. We can know true intimacy with our loving Father because of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Many claim that all people are children of God. But the Bible reveals quite a different truth. We are all His creations and under His authority and lordship, and all will be judged by Him. But the right to be called a child of God and to call Him Abba Father is something that only those who are born again. In John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, says, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. When we were born again, that's what it said. Because in Jesus, in John chapter 3, Jesus spoke these words. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Not Jesus speaking. Now, he was talking to Nicodemus at this time, remember? Okay. But then when he got down to verses 7 and 8, he had to reemphasize to him. He said, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the wind or the sound of it, but can't tell where it is, where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. I know a lot of you know that. There's a lot of you right now, the lights are going on. Because you're learning. You're hearing from Him today. You're not hearing from Pastor Jack. You're hearing from God. I'm just the piece that He's using this morning to speak through to you. When you were born again, that is when we are adopted in to the family of God. We are redeemed, and we're redeemed from the curse of the law. And we are made heirs of God. Because in Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham, you hear that? The blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. That is us. You're talking about the blessings here of Abraham. You need to study out what the blessings were. And that, see, that we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. See, everybody says, okay, well, he's talking about the Spirit. But you're missing those blessings. You got to claim those blessings. They're yours. They're mine. The more I go into the Word, the more I get it and I understand it. If it helps me, I know it's going to help you. Part of our new relationship, as I know many of us have seen, is how God deals with us. He deals with us differently, especially as family. And all I can say is, what a father. Mm-hmm. What a friend. Yeah. What a Savior He is. Our Father really loves us. See, it is life-changing to understand what it means to be able to call the one and true God our Father. and what it means to be joint heirs with Christ because of our relationship with our Abba Father. He no longer deals with us as enemies. Instead, we can approach him with boldness. With boldness, Anthony, because of the blood of Jesus. He understands that. That's the reason I point that out. I'm not saying some of you, all the others don't, but you'll hear him speak. That's what he always says when he gets ready to pray. He has no fear of doing these next things. He has no fear of going in and approaching God. Because of the blood of Jesus. We can approach God with boldness because we possess Christ's righteousness, not our own. I am saying we have perpetual access to God himself. To be in his very presence. Am I right, Anthony? Amen. See, I love that. He said amen. And give me a. Because it don't rattle with him. He's got a solid mass in there that works perfectly. Okay? And in full assurance of faith. Mm-hmm. That we won't be turned into a crispy critter. Because in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, it says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." Our consciences can be cleansed through the blood of Jesus. Just as the high priest washed himself before entering the most holy place. So we are cleansed before we come before God. See, there is a cleansing power in the blood of Jesus to remove the stubborn, worst stains. When he said it's stubborn, the first one, as I understood that one real quick. Okay, as I was stubborn for too many years. Becoming a child of God is the highest and most humbling of honors. Because of it, we have a new relationship with God and a new standing before him. Instead of running from God and trying to hide our sins like Adam and Eve did, we run to him, calling Abba, Father, and finding forgiveness in Christ. Being an adopted child of the Most High is the source of our hope, the security of our future, and the motivation to live a life worthy of the calling we have received. Being children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords calls us to a higher standard, a different way of life, and in the future, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Oh, I'm not kidding. Because you turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. I like what it says here. It says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and now we live with great expectation. And we have a priceless inheritance." Priceless. "An inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay." When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he began with the words, "Our Father." Get ready, Theodore. There is much truth in those two words alone. The holy and righteous God who created and sustains all things, who is all-powerful and all-knowing and ever-present, not only allows us but encourages us to call him Father. Now, I told Ted, I got a little bit more to do here, but I wanted him to do this now for you. What amazing grace that God would love us so much that Jesus would come and sacrifice himself for us. And Holy Spirit would indwell in us. That's what prompts us to be able to call him Abba, Father. What a father. What a friend. What a savior he is. Abba, Father really loves us. Remember, it's Father's Day. So take time to talk to Abba, Father. See, Daddy wants to hear from you. He wants you to crawl upon his lap. And how do you do that? Just close your eyes and start to talk to him. He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from you. He loves you so much. So we say, Happy Father's Day, Lord. We love you. We thank you for everything you've done for us. You have saved us from a life to live in eternal hell where it's not going to be fun. So we thank you for saving us. Father, we do know that you've called us to go out and share the same message with others that were saved, shared with us, Lord God. We know that there's forgiveness for all of us, for all of them. For you don't want to see anyone go to hell. Jesus even proved it when he said he would go for the one. And we believe that. So we thank you for that now, Father God. Hallelujah. Come on up here, tribe. I just want to, right now, I'm going to have them sing some songs for us. But this is a time that if you have any need of prayer,